All right, as they're leaving, go ahead and take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 4 this morning. We're going to be looking at a point in time. Of course, this is the early church. It's just beginning to form, and the men and women of that church are spreading the gospel and teaching and preaching. And of course, Peter, he's already preached his second sermon at this time. And we're just going to look this morning and see what it means to be with Jesus. What it means to be with Jesus. And we'll find in our passage this morning there is a term not specifically worded that way, but that's what it's speaking of. And it makes a difference. To be with Jesus makes a big difference in our lives. Hopefully this morning you've already been with Jesus. You've already met with Him. You've already read the Word of God. You spent some time with Him in prayer. And you're looking for His direction in your life because He wants you to be with Him. And to be with Him is to seek Him, is to look to Him, and to trust Him. So if you have your Bibles to Acts chapter 4, go ahead and stand, please. And I'm going to begin reading verse 5, and we're going to read down to verse 12 this morning. That's where the main portion of the passage is. We're going to go ahead and read some more afterwards, but let's go ahead and begin. Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow, before I read this, let me give you a little history here. The history is they've been thrown in hold, Peter and John, and they were thrown in hold because they did a miracle. So I just give you a heads up. So in verse 5 it says, "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Ananias the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning thanking you so much for the Word of God. Thank you for the power of God. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for how you use your Word to teach us, Father. And I pray, Father, that you would help me not to get in the way of what you want to accomplish today. And Father, I pray that you would help the words be clear, help the understanding be clear, and help the Spirit speak expressly. That, Father, that we might leave this place being challenged by the Word of God, being confirmed by the Word of God, and knowing that you have something for us to do. We thank you again for your love. We thank you for all that you've done. And we pray now you guide and direct in these next few moments. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So, to give you more background for this, I should have gave it to you before. But as we look at this in chapter 3, Peter and John, they were going to the temple to go pray, and they saw a man sitting there at the temple, and this was a man that had been lame. He was 40 years old, and he was seeking alms. Well, Peter and John, when they were walking by, they told him to look at them, and when he did, told him he didn't have anything to offer, but he took his right hand and he lifted him up. And right then and there, this man could stand. And of course, we know the story. He went leaping and walking and leaping and praising God, as the song says. And so here was a man that something happened in his life that was miraculous. It happened close to the synagogue. And so these people, everybody, the high priest, all these people knew about this. And so Peter, right after that, he preaches a second sermon. These folks in this religious order were upset. And in chapter 4, verse 1, the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, And the number of the men was about 5,000. Talk about a revival. Talk about something happening. I'll tell you, 5,000 people that day received Christ as their Savior. This upset these people. This upset them because they were done with Jesus, they thought. They had already put him away. He's been crucified. He's gone. And here these men, these apostles, are out preaching in Jesus' name. It upset them, so they took them and threw them in the hold. You know, the council there, and that's who this is talking about in verse 15, it makes it clear. It's from the Greek word Sanhedrin. And as a council, there are generally 71 members. The high priest was the head of the council. Rulers were the Pharisees. Of course, these were the religious rulers of the day. The elders were priests and aristocrats. The scribes were lawyers trained in theology. And all of these made up the leaders of the Jewish community under Roman rule. It's the same council that had condemned Jesus to die in Mark 15:1 says, "And straightway, in the morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate." So you see, these people were in opposition against the things of Jesus Christ. They didn't want to hear about him anymore. They thought this was, like I said, a done deal. And so here they are, and they're asking him a question. Look at verse 7 again. It says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" They're trying to find out. They're trying to get to the heart of the matter. How did this happen? Who gave you the power? By what authority have you done this? And whose name have you accomplished this miracle? And of course, they're going to share with them the name they don't want to hear. But it's the only name that has power today. It's the only name that can make a difference in your life. If you go back to chapter 3, it says... Where's it at? In verse 6 it says, "And Peter said, 'Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.'" In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. That's amazing. In the name of Jesus and what he does and what he can do in our lives. And so here he's talking to these people, and they're in the midst, and they're wanting to know by what power, by what name. And of course, I'm sure they were a little bit concerned because they heard and seen everything that took place in chapter 3, verse 10 says, "And they knew that it was he which set it for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which happened unto him." Talking about the lame man. So they're really confused about this. These are the same people that went to secure the put a seal on the graveside of Jesus. These are the same people that came back and said, when Jesus came was raised up and he left, "Please, we didn't do anything. Help us, protect us," and they paid him off. These are the people that know that something happened, and yet they want to hide it. They want to suppress it. They want to stop it. Today, we live in a country that wants to suppress the name of Jesus. They want to stop the name of Jesus. There's a lot of people out there who don't want to hear anything about Jesus. And, you know, we know there's a challenge for us. And that's what we're talking about. These folks were challenged. Why? Because of the name of Jesus. Today, there ought to be a challenge in our lives as well because of the name of Jesus. Because who is Jesus? Jesus is my Savior. It's in the name of Jesus that I got saved, that I put my faith and trust in God's plan for salvation. And other people need to hear that name and need to understand. There's always going to be a challenge. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4 for a second. We read that this morning. And go over there if you would. 1 Peter chapter 4. So here our disciples are being challenged because of this miracle that was accomplished. Peter, who is one of those, Peter and John, that were challenged, that's why we're in the book of Peter today, to get some ideas and thoughts of how he thought about these things. In 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to look at verse 12, if you will. Find yourself there. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you." Now, this is coming from Peter, who's experienced this. He's right in the midst, in this morning in our text, in a situation. He's written this past or after that, but he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, And when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. There's going to be some trials. There's going to be some challenges in this life for those who name the name of Christ, those who are with Jesus, those who have accepted Christ as their Savior. There's going to be challenges because of that. And it's true. Jesus told us that. But also, to be with Jesus, you will be controlled. Go back to your passage there. And this is a word, controlled, has to do with power. But let's look at it in Acts chapter 4 again. We see here Peter and John are challenged. But I want to see that they are also under the control and power of the Holy Spirit of God Himself. In verse 8, it says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel." That's amazing to me. Here is Peter. He is in this situation. He's been thrown in the hold, and now they brought him in the midst of the council. These 71 people are questioning him and John and asking them, "By what power or by what name have you done these things?" And so here the Bible tells us expressly the power that he had. That power comes from none other than the Holy Ghost. And of course we understand there's only one baptism of the Spirit. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, we partake of that. 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into that Spirit." Here the Bible tells us that he was filled with the Spirit of God. This is a prerequisite for doing the will of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17 through 18. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. How does that happen? It's a continual action in our lives. It happens by not allowing ourselves to make the decisions that we think are right apart from the Word of God. We want the filling of the Spirit. We want to be walking with the Lord. That's where it comes from. Is as we let Him control us, as He lets allow Him to lead us. And that's sometimes hard to do because, I don't know about you, but we're quick to react sometimes in negative ways. Maybe it's just words, or maybe it's even physically. And when we do that, we're no longer controlled by the Spirit. We're controlled by the flesh. And that's what we have to learn, is how to do that. And it's not just learning, it's allowing God to work in our lives that gives us the power to do it. It's all about God's power. This is the power that enabled Peter and John to stand up to these men. It was not in their own strength, but it was in the power of God. They were controlled by the Holy Spirit. And that's the same strength that we must rely on. Paul, he gave us that verse in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." There's where that power comes from, is through Jesus Christ. To be with Jesus gives us power. To be with Jesus gives us that strength that we need to accomplish the mission that He's called us to do. In Luke chapter 12, verse 11 through 12, Jesus told His disciples this, "And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take ye no thought how or what thing ye shall answer, or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what ye ought to say." And so what that passage is telling us, and Jesus is telling His disciples, and again, remember, this is a period of transition. Peter was speaking by the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. He was being led by God Himself to say the words that He said. He didn't study the Scriptures. Why? He didn't have the New Testament, for number one. What he was saying was being led by the Spirit of God. Today we have the New Testament. It's different. If you want to speak and share those things, we need to study, need to meditate, we need to learn the Word of God so we can share the Word of God. It doesn't just come natural. It's not just like I stand up here without ever looking at the Word of God and I'm speaking the Word of God. But in his case, he spoke it just like his tongues are the other sign gifts. So here Peter is being filled with the Spirit of God. And he's talking to these rulers. And so they wanted to know, by what name do you do these things? Look at verse 9. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. And he said, this is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which is become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So he told them in the power, it was the power of the Holy Spirit. He's come in the power of the Holy Spirit. To be with Jesus gives us that power, gives us control of allowing God to control our lives and to move us. And here he's telling him by what name. And he told him it's the name of Jesus Christ. Today I was saved, or years ago I was saved in the name of Jesus Christ. Today I live by the name of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the Spirit that lives in me. The name of Jesus is important. Why? Just as he told in John chapter 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, Jesus said, believe also in me, at the name of Jesus. Very important. Later in that chapter, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me, at the name of Jesus. You see how important it is? It's okay to people say, I believe in God. But that's not enough. God's plan is that you believe in Jesus Christ. And when you do, it will change your life literally. It will make you different than you are. So Peter makes it clear here. He's not trying to skirt around this issue. He just blankly tells them that it's by the name of Jesus. And he told them, says, he went a little further. He says, you know, the one you crucified? That's boldness, is it not? Where'd that come from? The Spirit of God. Why? Because he had been with Jesus. He told them the one that was raised from the dead. And you can imagine these men there, these 71 of the council, they must have felt like darts were piercing them because they probably remembered some of the things that took place before. They're probably in that situation now. They're thinking, not again. I thought we took care of this situation, and here we got more problems. What's going on here? They were upset with this whole thing. And then Peter goes on, he tells them, he says, this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. So Peter is quoting scripture here in Psalm 118:22, says, the stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. So Peter's referring to the Jewish leaders, the council or the Sanhedrin. They were the builders, but yet they had rejected that cornerstone. And the idea of that stone or rock was not new to the Jews. They knew that. It was in the Old Testament scriptures, and they heard many times. 2 Samuel 22:2, it says, and he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Psalm 18:2, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. They had stumbled at the rock. Romans 9:32, Paul writes, he says, wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were of the by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone, and that is Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 1:23, Paul writes, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. Jesus is the rock. And this is what he's telling them. He's trying to make it clear to him. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's by the name of Jesus Christ. What happened? What occurred? They walked by, going to the temple to pray. I think it's about the ninth hour. They saw him there seeking alms, and Peter said, look at us. And when he did, he reached down, he took his hand, and the man by the right hand, he picked him up. And that man had strength in his legs. To walk, but also to leap. And how did he do that? In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in God's plan for salvation. There's power in the Christian life. But we need to have confidence in that. Or faith and trust. To be with Jesus, you need to know
that He's there with you. You need to know you can depend on Him. You can trust Him for anything. You need to understand that no matter what my situation, first place to go is to Him. Always to Him. Because if we don't, we're going to circumvent what He might can do in our lives. And so we go to Him and we look to Him and we trust Him. We show that we are confident in our faith. We show them that we can demonstrate that we trust Him no matter what happens. No matter what happens to my life or those we love. We can trust Jesus. When Johnny had that accident on Tuesday, when I got there, I saw his car leaned up against a tree. And I hadn't seen Johnny yet, and I thought to myself, wow, I mean, that's serious. I mean, and you look at the tracks and how things happened. He nodded off for a second coming up past Mountain View Motel, and as he came up around that corner, he was on the other side of the road. There's a telephone pole right here. It looks like his tracks went like that and just missed that pole. And then, of course, you can't see the rest of it as much, but he hit his brakes there. He ended up turning around and sliding down the hill, rolling 1 1/4 times, and then hit a tree. God's hand was in all of that. Johnny shouldn't have been asleep. He should have been awake enough. He told the officer he didn't get enough rest that night before. But even that, God still protected him. That's amazing to me. And to see how God works in a person's life, if we'll just trust Him. Peter, he had that saving faith. He knew that Jesus had died for him. He was there when Jesus cried out, "It is finished." He was there after the resurrection. He saw Jesus Christ. He watched Him ascend up into heaven. It was real in his life. He experienced firsthand the baptism of the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. It was all real. Now, we don't get to see some of those things that Peter did, but we have the completed Word of God. The same confidence and faith that Peter had, we can have today as well. The council wasn't sure what to think. He said in verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved." I would say that's pretty straightforward. I'd say that it's pretty pointed. He just basically told them, there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. And here these folks are listening to this. Of course, they're not going to believe it. They don't want to believe it. They don't have anything care to do about believing this. And through this, they didn't know what to do. Why? Because all of a sudden there was this miracle that was performed, and everybody sees this guy standing up. He's 40 years old, leaping and walking and praising God. What are they going to do with this guy? They can't hide him. It's too late. The cat's out of the bag. Or the toothpaste is already out of the toothpaste tube. There's nothing they can do. Verse 13 says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled." Isn't that interesting? They saw these two men, John and Peter, thinking, man, they're kind of ignorant. These guys aren't intelligent, or they're not very smart because they haven't went to Bible college or the Jewish college of the day or whatever. And these people are regular people. Who were they anyway? They were fishermen. They probably knew a lot about fishing, but maybe not a lot about some other things, just like all of us. And so as they are looking at these religious leaders, they're thinking, boy, these are a couple folks out there from the hills somewhere out in the fishing lot. They don't know anything. But they marveled at the fact they had power. Something happened. Something magnificent happened through these two men. It was a miracle. They saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, and they marveled or wondered, and they took knowledge of them. They took knowledge of them. In other words, they looked at them and thought there was something different about them. They recognized something was special. Look what that next part of the passage says. This is what's important. So they took knowledge, or they recognized them, that they had been with Jesus. To be with Jesus. That made the difference in their lives. That gave them that boldness, that power. That gave them that ability to stand in that day of the leaders of the Jewish folks, these fishermen, and be able to stand there in the power of the Holy Spirit and in the name of Jesus Christ and tell them they needed to be saved. And there's only one way. That's Jesus Christ. Boy, that's amazing. These men had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus makes a difference. It made a difference in their priorities. It made a difference in their purpose of life. It made a difference in their plans. I don't know. They're not fishing anymore for fish. They're fishing for men. It changed their desires. It changed their dreams. It changed their destiny. If we went back and looked, it made a difference in their life to be with Jesus. And I can see the council there. They're still reeling at the fact that they're dealing with this man they crucified. Their name is coming up again. What's this all about? You'd think, if anything, they could see that Jesus Christ was somebody that was different. Somebody that was real. If I can do this in the name of Jesus, there's power there. There's something different about Jesus. But they didn't want to listen. Verse 14 says, "And beholding the man which was healed standing with him, they could say nothing against him." In other words, their mouths were shut. They couldn't say anything against Jesus Christ or these men because they saw the evidence, and the evidence was clear. They had no idea what to do with these guys. And so they decide, let's have a meeting. Verse 15 says, "But when they commanded them to go aside out of the council," told John and Peter to go out, "they conferred among themselves," in verse 16, "saying, what shall we do to these men? They got a problem on their hands. For that indeed a notable miracle had been done by them is manifest to all," or declared to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, "and we cannot deny it." They're going, we nothing we can do about this. This has happened. It's real. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and it became real in your life, nobody else could do anything about that. It happened. It made you different. It's something that you wanted to talk about. You wanted to share with others. You had a burden for people, your family especially, and you wanted them to know. And they couldn't shut you up. Why? Because you had been with Jesus. That's amazing sometimes. There's a lot of things we can watch on TV or happens in our lives that we can't quit talking about. Why? Because it happened. It's an experience. Jesus Christ and salvation is an experience. It's an experience that you can never get over. You can never shake off because it is real in your life. And God is doing that work, and it's a marvelous work that He wants to do in each one of our lives. And here are these council, they couldn't do anything about it. Look at verse 17, it says, "But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus." So here's the plan. And you know, it's a plan that is trying to shut up Christians. And so they're saying, look, we're the council. We're the religious leaders. We don't want you to say anything in the name of Jesus. Just button it up. Just don't say anything. Just, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear about it. You just don't do this. And if you do, we don't know what they threatened them with. Might have been their lives. Today, I wonder if Christians need to be threatened to not speak the name of Jesus. I wonder if we need someone to come tell us, don't talk about Jesus. Because if you do, we're going to do something to you. I think they've already won that battle for the most part in a lot of places. But we see also, fourthly, to be with Jesus will change your convictions. Verse 18 says, "And they call them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye." What did they just do? They did what Jesus did so often when He was talking to the Pharisees, and they came and they attacked Him on some ground or some area. He always took it and gave them back a question. That's exactly what they did. They put it on them. You judge if it's better for us to listen to you guys or to do the will of God. Talk about a struggle. These guys, they're thinking in their minds, well, we're the council, we're the religious leader of the day. We are doing the will of God. Yet could any of those men walk up to that guy that had been there, I don't know how long, but he's 40 years old, and tell him, says, look at us, and grab his right hand and lift him up? Could any of those guys done that? No. I wonder how many times they walked by that guy. He was lame at birth. I don't know how long he'd been there. But they had passed him by over and over and over again. They couldn't do anything to help him. Because there's no power in their religion. The power comes in the name of Jesus. It's the name of Jesus that changes lives. Changes people. In verse 20, listen to their resolve here. It says, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. That's interesting. For we cannot but speak the things we have seen and heard. What they are saying there is that something miraculous happened in my life. And my testimony is that my life has been changed. I'm no longer seeking those things that I once sought. I'm no longer caring about all those issues of life that I once put my stock in. It's not about how much I have, but it's more about who I know. Jesus. They said, but we cannot but speak. In other words, they had to talk about Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was inside of them through the Spirit of God. They had to. They had to. It was a compulsion. It was a conviction. There was no choice. That's what they had to do. Remember, they were with Jesus when he shared Matthew 28, 18 through 20. It says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. They heard those words, and those words made a difference in what they did in their life. In Acts 1:8, Jesus said, but ye shall receive power. We just saw Peter filled with the Holy Spirit. Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. What was he saying there? He says, you're going to be a witness of what I've done in your life. And that's why Peter, they could say, but we cannot help ourselves. That's the paraphrase. But we got to speak of Jesus. Why? Because they're witnesses of something that took place in their life. Something that was miraculous. Something that changed their life. Has Jesus changed our lives? Have we been with Jesus? Are we continually looking to Jesus and spending time with Jesus? It will transform and change our lives. It will give us convictions that we never knew that were possible. And there's power that's really untapped that Jesus Christ wants to give us right now, today. They were witnesses. They were partakers. They seen all of these things. They were there. And today we have these words from these men as God superintended them writing these words. We have John and we have Peter writing these things so we can know that they're real and they're true and it happened to them and it can happen to us. We could pin the words that they pinned in the sense that we're living the life that they lived. Not that we're going to live a life just like them. Peter later penned the verses in 1 Peter 2:19 through 20. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. He says, for what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? In other words, if you're guilty of something and you take it patiently, what's the big deal? But then he says, but if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. this is acceptable with God. And that's what these men were doing there. They were in under the authority of the council there. They were listening to them. I don't know exactly the tone, but I can imagine their tone was they were maybe excited about things, but I don't think they did anything to offend these guys other than the words that they shared. Jesus and his name is offensive. It's offensive. He told them, he says, if they hated me, they'll hate you. It's offensive to people. We're not out to offend people. We're out to show people Jesus Christ. And their decision is their decision. But all through this, we see what happens is that God gets the glory. Look at verse 21. It says, so when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. That's amazing. These men, they stood up in the power of the Spirit of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, and shared the gospel. And they didn't care what happened to them. They're not giving up. They're not quitting. They're not going to stop. And what happened is God got the glory. That's amazing to me. And that's why we're here, is to give God the glory. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And it's being reminded that no matter what you do, as long as it's walking with the Lord, it's going to turn out all right. It may not feel all right at the time, okay? There is some tribulation. There are trials. But these are short-lived. Now, at the moment, we don't think that, right? We all know that. We're going through difficulties today. We know that, oh boy, this is terrible and it's bad. But in the scheme of things, if we could ever see the big picture and ever get a hold of the fact that eternal life is eternal, 70, 80, 90 years is nothing. Now, it's hard to understand that. I don't really understand that because I can't see that eternity other than through the Word of God and believe it by faith. Because today is the day I'm hurting or I don't feel good or something's going on in my life that I can't handle. And you can't without being with Jesus. It's being with Jesus is going to give us the ability to go through things in life. Now, I've got a distinction. I didn't think about this the other day, but I now have two children who've been in vehicles that have rolled. Is that right? It's the middle two. I don't know what's wrong with you guys. No. But God has protected. The outcomes could have been different. But God knows all about that too. But it's just trusting Him. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. What's God's purpose? Matthew 28. Where Jesus told us to go and teach all nations, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's our purpose in this life. But the results of doing right is God's going to get the glory. Let's just read the last section. We'll be done and see what happens the rest of this. Verse 22, it says, for the man was above 40 years old, of whom this miracle of healing was showed. And being let go, as Peter and John, they went to their own company, probably back to the church at Jerusalem, and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. When God does something in our lives, we ought to lift our voice up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for the guidance. Thank you for overseeing what I don't even know could have happened. Thank you so much for caring for me and loving me. Thou art God, they said, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, or all that is that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, this is Psalm chapter 2, you can read it later, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against His Christ. That's exactly what the Sanhedrin did here. He says, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, who thou hast anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. And verse 28 says, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. God sent Jesus to die on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 29, it says, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. When I was looking at that, I thought, man, I'd be praying, dear Lord, deliver me all of this mess. I don't want to go through this mess. I don't want to have to deal with this. I just don't want to have to try to confront people. I don't want to have to be confronted. Lord, just let me out of this. But they didn't do that. They said, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Lord, you know that they're going to threaten us. And he says, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. In other words, regardless of the threatenings, allow us still to carry the gospel forth. You know, you ever seen those Civil War pictures? You know, those guys that got the flag bearer? You ever watch those pictures where they're running and all of a sudden the flag bearer falls? What's the first thing that happens you see usually? Because they always focus on this. Yeah, somebody comes by and grabs that and keeps on going, right? It's the same with Christianity. When one falls, somebody needs to fill that spot. Who is our banner? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying. Give us that boldness. Give us that power. And of course, these folks had special powers that we don't have today. And then look at verse 31, and we're going to wrap this up. And when they had prayed, I'll tell you something, always go to the Lord. Give him your thoughts. Tell him your heart. And it says, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. We need to be shaken. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God that we can be bold in our witness. Bold telling people, the day is getting short. The time is at hand. When Jesus comes back, there's no more opportunities to speak with boldness. You're going to be challenged. There's no doubt about it. But to be with Jesus is to be controlled by Him. To be with Jesus is to have confidence in Him. To be with Jesus is to have a conviction about the life we live. What does Jesus want you to do today? Number one, to be with Him. And number two, follow Him. Be bold in Jesus, and your life will be transformed. It won't be what it was. You got a whole new set of priorities, a whole new plan. Your life is completely different when you start to follow Jesus, if you've never followed Him before. Let God have His way in our lives so we can speak boldly of what Jesus has done. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words to this morning. We thank you for the illustration in this passage of these men, how they lived their life. We understand that this was a different time in our Christianity or the church. These folks had more power than I've even can think of what it's like to have. But yet they were threatened. They made stands that today many of us would be maybe afraid to do. Of course, they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they did it in the name of Jesus. And Father, you protected them, you guided them, and you directed them, and they were able to share, and they never quit because they loved you. They had a testimony that changed their lives. Father, help us to share the testimony that has changed our lives. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.